Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we got a fine guest right from the top. He is our good friend and former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He joins us right now live via Zoom. Jim, welcome back. Can't say it's been far too long, but always great to have you come around, Jim.
And it is always good to be with you, especially 750 days later, it surfaces again.
The Mueller report. Well, let's start with your public flogging, sir, for prior admiration you expressed for the Attorney General of the United States. And I don't recall how long it was ago that you appeared on this fine program and said, oh, no, Bill Barr, I respect the man. Well, I suspect your respect has been tempered. What happened with Bill Barr? And I believe the judge in this case was Amy Berman Jackson. And what was at issue was how Barr had responded to the Mueller report in regards to Trump's possible obstruction of justice. I don't know if I laid it all out perfectly, counselor. That's why we bring you by. But first and foremost, apologize again for ever admiring Bill Barr.
The words that I spoke about him being an institutional fellow, I have rescinded many times, including a month or so, actually days after he issued that letter back in March of 2019, the day that, frankly, Dom, you and I were together on the air talking about this report hours after it was released. And at that time, we knew, as does America, that the former attorney general, and here I will once again eat crow, had basically misrepresented, I will use the L word, lied to the American public about what was in this report, both first sections and second sections with respect to Russia, and then also about obstruction of justice. So at the time, Bill Barr not only said that there was no reason to believe that President Trump had engaged in any violations of the law under obstruction of justice, but significantly, he went to Congress after that and said that he had relied not only upon his analysis very quickly of a 450-page report, took me all weekend and beyond to read this, to come to that conclusion, and that he had relied also upon an office called the Office of Legal Counsel to prepare for him a memorandum summarizing this, presumably making a recommendation about whether or not any of these 10 instances of obstruction of justice should be the predicates for a prosecution of the president. That's the memorandum that Amy Berman Jackson, U.S. District Judge in the District of Columbia, has got in her possession. That's the one that she now says, I'm going to release because, as you indicated, Mike, at the outset, it does not fly. It flies in the face of what the former attorney general said. It basically presents an entirely different story. We don't have all the content of it, but plainly that's what this is all about.
Jim Santel, there is no statute of limitations on our ball busting you over Bill Barr, but the obstruction of justice, or perhaps the criminal obstruction of justice, that's coming up about a year from now. You brought it to our attention. Tell the audience what you told us.
Sure. So all of those events, again, there are about 10 of them all together. I would say most people say about 6 to 8 of them are prosecutable, but they all happened in March, April, May, June of 2017. They include things like firing the former director of the FBI, Jim Comey. They include things like telling Don McGahn to lie to the American public about the reasons for that. All kinds of things that happened in the spring of 2017, the first months of the Trump administration. All of those have a 5-year statute of limitations on them. I'm not good at assessing attorney general integrity, but I am good at math, at least when it comes to simple arithmetic. 2017 plus 5 brings you to 2022, which means that we're now about a year, frankly, 10, 11 months from all of these events not being the possibility for prosecuting these events in any forum. And so there is still an option to do that, but that's where the statute falls as of today, as we meet now in early May of 2021.
Jim, we don't know the entirety of what's contained in the letter drafted by Barr. Lots of redactions, even the judge's ruling, and apparently she redacted certain parts of her letter that currently reflect the challenged portions of what it is that Barr said or represented. But here's my question of you, sir. Is Barr in legal jeopardy for perjury or some other crime? Is it theoretically possible that the former attorney general could become, inmate number 12345, sir?
He has both some very public problems now with respect to the things he said to all of us and to the American public. As an aside, I'll pull out those portions of the Mueller report that drive you crazy, those watching
on. It's a blank black page because it's all redacted.
Exactly, right? And so what Amy Berman Jackson did is she reprinted portions of this memorandum, did the same thing in her order, anticipating that one day that would be released. To your question, as I said before, this attorney general not only lied to us publicly, but also appeared in front of Congress and made some statements under oath. If he lied about that circumstance, the things that he was relying upon, representations made to Congress, that, as we know from many other cases, is perjury. That is prosecutable. And again, depending upon where this goes, other things, it's always like pulling these threads. You never know what may be out there. We've long suspected that there may be some other problems with this, but that's the one that I see right now. Misrepresentation under oath about the bases for your decisions. You don't have to, public statements may or may not be the subject of criminal activity, but that is. And that's where I think he's got some exposure here.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We have our pal, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us via the Zoom. Jim, good to talk to you as always. I did see a clip of an interaction between now Vice President Harris and AG Barr at the time, and she was really getting on him, and he was being kind of evasive, in my opinion. So we have potentially a perjury charge because he lied to Congress while under oath. What about lying to a federal judge as the head of the Justice Department? Can anything be done to prosecute him for that?
Sure. And so what you have here, of course, is Amy Berman Jackson in this same order that she issued just yesterday saying, you know what, in addition to this memorandum being problematic, you lied to me, attorneys for the Department of Justice, about what that says. Now, Bill Barr himself didn't say that, but plainly the attorneys appearing before Amy Berman Jackson did. And she takes them, the problem that she now has before her, which is in addition to the document, the misrepresentations that they made. This is a serious matter, too. It is contempt. It is contempt of court to lie to a judge. She plainly is angry about this. She makes those comments. She says, you've been disingenuous in your assertions, Mr. Attorney General. And again, that's the sanction there for lying to a judge. In addition, of course, when you lie to the judge, this is the same judge who has had experience with this. She was one who tried Paul Manafort. She tried Roger Stone. This is the same judge who's had experience with this kind of thing. It doesn't go well for you long term substantively. And so there is that issue as well, right? The representations, misrepresentations that she feels were made by the former attorney general through his Justice Department attorneys to her about the content of that memorandum. She's now read it all and she says, you know what? That's not what you said. That's a problem.
Well, I would imagine if I lied to a federal judge, Jim, I would face some serious consequences. And if I lied to under oath to a congressional committee, there would be consequences to that, too. I'm looking for the same consequences that would be applied to me to be applied to him. Jim, is there any enhancer for the circumstances of the lies? Because, again, this was for obstruction of justice into an investigation of now the sitting president who presumably got that job through the help of a foreign adversary. And they lied about it the entire time. I mean, I would be remiss if I would think that, well, you know, we're going to just have to leave it to history and, you know, history won't judge Barr right. I want to see some justice here, man. They tried to bury this entire episode. Any chance we're going to open this back up and he can have some, I mean, will Bill Barr in any circumstance, in any way in your mind, Jim, ever do time for this?
Well, and you know, it's impossible to believe that the present Justice Department, not only now being in this forum with Amy Berman Jackson, is not looking at all of this and thinking about all of these various alternatives. The big one, of course, as we've said, is just the public exposure of this. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the Attorney General appeals this decision or just lets the judge go ahead, as she said, and she's going to release this on May 17th, about 10 days from now.
The current Attorney General.
Appeal, right? And so that's one option there. Beyond that, yes, all these things, including frankly, the six or eight instances of obstruction, those things are still in someone's inbox in the Department of Justice. Representations, misrepresentations made about them, all of that can be the subject and should be the subject of additional Department of Justice review.
Jim, my understanding is that Bill Barr's DOJ slow walk the investigation of Rudy Giuliani. Because if there was enough underlying evidence to convince a judge that a search warrant should be issued, I suspect they already had that evidence. That's not newly acquired evidence, probably. But here's my question. Rudy Giuliani's, he's got real problems, and the latest news we're seeing involves Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman and monies that they paid and monies that apparently Rudy enriched himself with at least $500,000. They threw a couple million in. He took a $500,000 off the top for fees or services rendered, Jim. But isn't that exactly what he's been accused of in some way, shape, or form, effectively being a foreign lobbyist? And above and beyond that, could this fall under the header of money laundering, sir? Got like 1 minute left in this segment.
Right. The answer is yes and yes and yes and yes and yes. As we said before, when you try to make a list of all the things that Mr. Giuliani may be exposed to here, you've identified two or three of them: money laundering, the FARA problems, plainly attempting to undermine an election here, engagement with foreign authorities, all those kinds of things also in someone's inbox at the Department of Justice. Rudy Giuliani, as he also announced today, shedding his entourage, has money problems, trying to cut his costs, and he's got all these legal fees. He recognizes, too, that there are lots of things that he is exposed to. Don't be surprised, as we talked before, about the Michael Cohen similarity here. If Rudy Giuliani at one point wakes up some morning and says, you know what, Donald Trump isn't going to help me, Michael Cohen may be the better way to pursue my future here.
Meaning flip on the boss. Come back with us, a fine former U.S. Attorney James Santel, great friend of ours, more Devil's Advocates.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
So James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us. Jim, thanks for sticking around for one more segment. I know we have a couple other topics we want to get to, but I want to just pick your brain a little bit on this Bill Barr obstruction of justice of the president and from Trump and all that. If the current Attorney General Merrick Garland, is it up to him and only him whether or not to go now and pursue those obstruction of justice charges? If this memo comes out, it is released, and we see the lies for what they were, and Bill Barr just pulled out of ass his reasoning for not charging, I'm not going to charge him because he's my guy. If Merrick Garland does not go down that road, are we just SOL and Trump gets away with it?
You know, I don't think so. Again, this is what is, again, speaking about inboxes, this is a big one. There are many in Merrick Garland's inbox right now. This is a significant one, made much more complicated just in the past 24 hours. So the answer to your first question is yes. He is the chief federal law enforcement officer on these big ticket issues, including things, frankly, like searching the apartment and the business office of the former president's attorney. Those things almost certainly crossed by him. This too, that sort of thing. I have no doubt that the attorneys right now appearing very soon in front of Amy Berman Jackson, they're conferring not only with the deputy attorney general, Lisa Monaco, others inside the department about all these things, including the attorney general himself. So he's got some judgment calls to make here about disclosures. My guess is he's going to be want to be as transparent as possible about the release of as much of this memorandum as you possibly can, recognizing too that there's a strategic piece and there's a legal piece. And Amy Berman Jackson says, you know, a lot of this is just strategy. My guess is we will see that, to your delight, Mike. But he has got the ultimate decision based upon consultation with folks in the criminal division about whether there's something more than just public release, and if in fact there are crimes that have been committed here. Again, we don't know the dimensions. We haven't seen all the evidence, but that's up to him, supported obviously by the good counsel and the wonderful experience of an awful lot of civil servants who've done criminal prosecution, public corruption cases all of their careers.
Jim, you talked about Rudy Giuliani. And if there is some criminality that happened during the Trump administration, and we all have our suspicions, but Rudy was probably up to his pickled eyeballs in it, right? And he is now financially desperate, if we understand the reporting, and he faces his own legal jeopardy, and it's not cheap to defend oneself. and Trump won't pay his legal defense. I think strategically, this is a terrible mistake being made by Trump. If you don't want the former lawyer to roll up on you, maybe give him a few bucks, a few shekels towards his legal fees. Jim, would that be permitted under law for Trump to pay Rudy's legal fees? And wouldn't it be a good idea to do so?
Right. And those may be two different questions, obviously, that plainly strategically for the former president, that may be wise. Remember also that right after this happened, right after Mr. Giuliani's apartment and business was searched by the FBI, the former president did release, it wasn't obviously on Facebook, but a statement saying how wonderful Mr. Giuliani is. He's a patriot. It's horrible that this is happening. So he's doing some of that. But again, to your point, the real force behind that would be to provide him some support to get him out from under this. Whether disclosures of attorney fee payments, those can be done, obviously, between attorneys, between their counsel, those kinds of things. They can also be the subjects under appropriate circumstances of judicial inquiry, depending upon what happens here. So all those things waiting to be played out. As I mentioned sort of cryptically before the break, too, it strikes me that given all of these problems that Mr. Giuliani has, not just legal, but also financial, he's now got his part-time driver. I don't have a driver at all. I suspect you don't either, but he's got a part-time driver from Manhattan right now. All those kinds of things, at some point you sit down with your lawyer and say, what is your long-term goal here? If it is to remain out of jail, maybe it's time to do what Michael Cohen did, which is talk to the prosecutors, maybe strike a deal, not that you're going to get out from under jail completely, but you're going to enter into a plea agreement. And what are you going to do? You're going to agree to cooperate. Tell us what you know over the period of many years that you've served in this very important capacity with the former president.
Even with the cooperating witness that Rudy Giuliani might be, Donald Trump's going to take his mentor's cue. His mentor was Roy Cohn. And Roy Cohn basically said, fight it all. Always fight it. Drag it. Delay it. Obstruct it. Do whatever you can do. Jim, let's assume that the state has a credible witness like Giuliani. And Trump can presume his goose is cooked in some way, shape, or form. How much time legally can he drag this out before he would ever face criminal prosecution?
You know, it depending upon exactly when it was charged, we talked about this in connection with the former president's other problems coming out of Cyrus Vance's office. Again, I made the prediction sometime this calendar year, we'll see some of those charges. It's probably going to be, at the lowest end, months, if not years. Why? Because you get the charges that are issued, whether they're federal or state charges. You've got a period of discovery. You've got motion practice, motions to dismiss, to suppress that are litigated. Probably much of that even may go up on appeal. This would be years before it would happen, but not to say that if with an aggressive prosecutor, it cannot be aggressively prosecuted. And that's the important point.
Jim, just almost out of time here. I want to throw this one out there. Rudy Giuliani, could he both be an attorney for the president and represent a foreign interest? And if he is charged on the foreign interest thing, does that nullify any sort of claim of representation for Trump?
It's an excellent question. It goes to conflicts of interest. And again, you have to figure out what your interests are. The basic rule is you cannot represent two clients whose interests are conflicting or that somehow put you in the position of having to disclose information to one, not to the other. It's a conflict issue. And it can also, depending upon what you do, again, we've talked about this crime fraud exception. You can't have an attorney-client relationship that is protected by attorney-client privilege if you're engaging in criminal conduct and criminal discussions. That's the other issue that's going to loom large. That's why right now this taint team, this review team, is reviewing everything that was gotten last week from the search of the Giuliani properties.
Jim, theoretically, could Trump run for president while under indictment?
The answer is yes. There's no prohibition on that. Interesting prospect about having, again, a candidate, as we know in other circumstances, who've run while they've had their own criminal exposure out there.
And theoretically, if he won re-election, if that's what it was called, he could pardon himself.
Gosh, again, all the questions we're scratching our head at. Whoever thought we'd have to be having these kinds of discussions, James Madison and people like George Mason and others would be turning over and probably are turning over in their graves thinking about these things.
James Santel, the finest of guests. Thank you so much, Jim. Stick around. John Nichols from The Nation is next. More Devil's Advocates.
Thank you, Jim.
Will there be a lawsuit? Yeah, probably.
There's a good chance I may have committed something light.